This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Let us pray. Come, Holy Spirit, kindle within us the fire of your love. Take our minds and think through them. Take our lips and speak through them. Take our souls and set them on fire with love for you. Amen. Please be seated. That's a gospel, huh? See what we do with that. I received an email from Rosalyn Murray, who is one of our ushers and greeters today. Most of you know her. This is several weeks ago, around the 50th anniversary of the March on Washington and MLK's famous I Have a Dream speech. And the email contained an article in the New York Times that had stories of people who had actually been there, who were now elderly, but they remembered keenly what it was like. And one of the stories was written by a woman by the name of Molly. And she talked about really wanting to go on the rally, the March on Washington, as a white woman to stand up finally for something that she really believed in. Now, this is 1963. She's in her early 20s. So she writes that she had recently been married, just a little over 2 months, and the evening that she saw the flyer, she tells her husband, Dick, I saw this notice, and I am going. And he said, no, you can't go. And I said, well, why not? And Dick says, I was terrified. Here was my young bride I had just married, and I didn't want her to be hurt. There had been killings in the South. Molly says, but you know, you get to that point that I didn't think I could have any self-respect if I didn't stand up for what I believed. And Dick said, they didn't need you. They don't need you now. And Molly said, yes, they do need me. I'm just the person that they need. I'm a peace-loving, quiet person, and I stand up for what I believe. I can't let other people stand up for me anymore. And then she says, Dick used the F word. I forbid you to go. And then Dick says, now keep in mind, I was 24 years old, and this was 1963. And Molly says, I just looked at Dick and I said, this is why I was afraid of getting married. I don't want some man telling me what I can and can't do. I am going. You don't have to go if you're afraid. I understand, but I have to go. Dick ended up going with her, and both of their lives were changed forever. Molly is a good example of what Jesus is talking about in the gospel today when he says, and this is a really poor translation of the word hate. It's not hate. It's not from the Aramaic and the original. What I just read to you, the line that says, whoever comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, and yes, even life itself, cannot be my disciple. A better translation for that word hate is put aside. It's kind of hard to translate into English, but it's to put aside. It doesn't mean hate like we think of hate. Molly had to put aside what her husband wanted her to do because she knew she had to do it to be true to herself and to be true to what was just and right and good. Another example, modern times, is a Lutheran pastor by the name of Sharon Blizzard. She had to put aside the wishes of her mother. In her church in which she grew up, women were not supposed to speak in church. We're not supposed to teach. We're not supposed to preach. And God forbid they should become ministers. She knew she was being called to be a Lutheran minister. And she is a Lutheran minister today. And she said one of the biggest sadnesses of her life was that her mother wouldn't come to her ordination. She doesn't hate her mother. Her mother doesn't hate her. They both put aside the wishes of the other strongly, and they agree to disagree. She stood up. Okay, so then in the gospel, if that wasn't tough enough, and I think I skipped this when I read it, excuse me for doing that, but Jesus tells them, whoever does not carry the cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. I hope that's not a secret message for me since I forgot that. In that day, and even still today, in some parts of the world, if you were a follower of Christ, you would be killed. And so he was being very literal and also figurative in what he said to them. If you're going to follow me, count the cost. You could be killed for following me. Just like those followers of MLK. Sometimes you just got to do what you know you need to do in the name of Christ. And Jesus is saying, take stock. Sit down. Know what you're getting into. He also meant it as a figure of speech. Because at that time, because there were so many crucifixions going on, and now it carries into our day as a figure of speech. When you carry your cross, you're carrying the burdens of your life with Christ. And that means, from another part of Scripture, when he talks about my yoke is easy, the burden is light, because we don't do it alone. We walk with a power so much greater than ourselves, so much greater than ourselves. Jesus, as I've said for the last couple months, is getting very urgent with his followers. He's on his way to Jerusalem. He knows he's not going to be around long. He knows what's about to happen. And if he, there's been argument about whether he knew he was going to die or not, but regardless of that, he knew that it was going to be a big fight because he was going to face his accusers. And he was urgent with them to follow in his way. Because he wasn't going to be there in his body, but he would be with them in the unseen and in through the power of the Holy Spirit. He was being straight with them. Sit down. Plan the cost of following me, whatever that means in your own life. It might mean that you have to turn against your loved ones about a certain issue or a certain problem in your life. If you ask Molly about this, the woman from the story in the beginning, she'd say she had to do that. If you ask Sharon, she'd say, I had to become a Lutheran minister. I knew that I had to do that. Just a few weeks ago, we had a gospel that was similarly tough, if you remember, that we talked about that same thing, about having to stand up for what is right in your life, even if it's hard. And a young woman that was here wrote to me, and she said that she was so glad that she had come to church that day and heard the word, because she had just quit a job because she was not able to work in a place that threatened her integrity. There were things going on, and she knew she couldn't work there. And she was feeling guilty about it and whether she did the right thing, and she didn't have another job. And when she heard that gospel, she knew. She knew. I've got to find out what job she's got now. Because God's got big things in plan for her. It's tough. It's tough. But she had to shake the dust. Shake the dust off her feet. All these footprints, I want you to remember when you go out of here today, that in this service represents shaking the dust. And you'll realize in a moment why I'm saying shake the dust. Eugene Peterson did a paraphrase of the Bible. That's really a wonderful translation to a paraphrase to read along with your regular Bible, because he puts the stories into modern language. And this is what he writes about today's gospel. One day when large groups of people were walking along with him, Jesus turned and told them, anyone who comes to me but refuses to let go of father, mother, spouse, children, brothers, sisters, yes, even one's own self can't be my disciple. Anyone who won't shoulder his own cross and follow behind me can't be my disciple. And then he gives two examples about planning. Remember about the tower that I read, that if you don't plan, you may not be able to finish it. And then about when this king goes to war, he wants to plan. And then he writes, simply put, if you're not willing to take what is dearest to you, whether plans or people, and kiss it goodbye, you can't be my disciple. It's about our priorities. If we go along to get along, we're not going to get along very far. We're not going to get along very far. That's why Jesus, at the end of the gospel, says we have to give up all of our possessions. He doesn't mean that we take all our belongings and put them in the dumpster. That isn't what he's talking about. It means that we give up their power over us, especially in this Western culture where we're being bombarded to buy and buy and buy and buy. Or maybe it's our looks that we possess. We think we're too fat or too thin or not good enough. Or maybe we think we're not with the right people, or we're not hanging out with this crowd or that crowd, or we don't look cool enough, or we're not living in a big enough place or in the right place. We go on and on with all of that, and it possesses us. And Jesus is saying, give up all your possessions in that way. Shake the dust. Shake the dust. Nothing should get in our way. And my sisters and brothers, no matter what our hardships, no matter what our troubles, no matter what we are going through in our lives, we are walking in this journey with other people that are walking with it too. And we can hold each other up in prayer. We hold each other up in our lives. We hold each other up in whatever gatherings we go to dedicated to that, and in our fellowship with friends and family. And most importantly, in our walk with Jesus Christ and that power that is greater, so much greater than us. We embrace this life, Jesus says. Follow me. Even if it's dangerous, even if it's dangerous, shake the dust. I thank Madison Langley for turning me on to this video we're about to see. Go ahead.
This is for the fat girls. This one is for the little brothers. This is for the schoolyard wimps. For the childhood bullies that tormented them. For the former prom queen and for the milk crate ball players. For the nighttime cereal eaters and for the retired elderly Walmart store front door greeters. Shake the dust. This is for the benches and the people sitting upon them. For the bus drivers driving a million broken hymns. For the men who have to hold down three jobs simply to hold up their children. For the nighttime schoolers and for the midnight bike riders trying to fly, shake the dust. This is for the two-year-olds who cannot be understood because they speak half English and half God, shake the dust. For the boys with the beautiful, beautiful sisters, shake the dust. For the girls with those brothers who are going crazy, those gym class wallflowers, and the 12-year-olds afraid of taking public showers. For the kid who's always late to class because he forgets the combination to his lockers. For the girl who loves somebody else, shake the dust. This is for the hard men who want love, but know that it won't come. For the ones the amendments do not stand up for the ones who are forgotten, for the ones who are told to speak only when you are spoken to, and then are never spoken to. Speak every time you stand so you do not forget yourself. Do not let one moment go by that doesn't remind you that your heart beats 100,000 times a day and that there are enough gallons of blood to make every one of you oceans. Do not settle for letting these waves settle and for the dust to collect in your veins. This is for the celibate pedophile who keeps on struggling, for the poetry teachers and for the people who go on vacations alone, for the sweat that drips off of Mick Jagger's singing lips and for the shaking skirt on Tina Turner's shaking hips, for the heavens and for the hells to which Tina has lived. This is for the tired and for the dreamers. Those families that will never be like the Cleavers with perfectly made dinners and sons like Wally and the Beaver. This is for the bigots, for the sexists, for the killers, and for the big house jail sentenced cats becoming redeemers. The springtime that somehow seems to always show up after every single winter. This is for you. sure that by the time the fisherman returns, you are gone. Because just like the days, I burn at both ends. And every time I write, every time I open my eyes, I'm cutting out parts of myself just to give them to you. So shake the dust and take me with you when you do. For none of this has ever been from me. All that pushes and pulls, pushes and pulls, it pushes for you. So grab this world by its clothespins, shake it out again and again, and jump on top and take it for a spin. And when you hop off, take it again. This is yours. Make my words worth something. Make this more than just another poem that I write, more than just another night that sits heavy above us all. Walk into it. Breathe it in. Let it crash through the halls of your arms like the millions of years of millions of poets, coursing like blood, pumping and pushing, making you live, shaking the dust. When the world knocks on your front door, clutch the knob tightly and open on up. And run forward into its widespread greeting arms with your hands in front of you, fingertips trembling, though they may be.
That poet is Anis Mojani. We shake the dust in risky joy in following Christ. Risky joy.